to bring the gospel to you today in your living rooms. It's not like worshiping here with you. I can tell you this church is still here. It's beautiful and it's wonderful, but it's just not the same without you. But I'm so glad that we can be together this morning through Facebook. We're going to do some worship. We're going to do some words, some announcements and things. We want you to know, if you are connected with us on Facebook, that right now we have up a virtual egg hunt. So go on and check it out. Take a picture of yourself with some eggs in the background, or a picture of something around you with some eggs in the background, and let your kiddos help you find the eggs in that picture and then post how many eggs you find. Just a great way to have some fun and stay connected. Miss Jamie posted a lesson for the kids yesterday, so go on and let your kids listen to that lesson. And also, there's a challenge to you for the kids to make, and then post a picture of that so we can see your kiddos with that picture posted. Miss Tama mentioned some things this morning, and she kind of challenged me, and so I have my red banner here today. And thinking about Passover week, we normally would do our communion today, but since we're not able to do that together, you can go online, find Dr. Lynn Hiles Ministries, and they did a communion online. If you can do communion at home today with your families, that's awesome. If you want to find a red garment of some kind, if you don't have red, use any kind. And Ms. Tama challenged us to post it over our doors, to drape it over our doors. It's a symbol of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. It's a symbol of our Passover. It's a sin over our exodus out of bondage and slavery. And I declare that as we hang these banners over our doors, that sickness has to go, and we're coming out. And we are coming into victory. And so we're going to sing about that today. But hang a banner over your door. And if you do it, send us a picture of it. I love staying connected to you guys. Thank you to everyone who has posted a devotional. I've loved reading and hearing what God is saying to you. And that's been powerful to me. And that's been an encouragement to my heart. So keep them coming. If your kids have a devotional, I haven't heard from much of our teens or our little guys yet. You guys can post a devotional too. You can post a picture of the banner over your door, the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. You can post a palm branch, and all of those things are some fun ways to stay connected. So do that if you can. Let us know how you're helping out your neighbors. I hope you're finding somebody to help out with, whether it is getting the kiddos to draw a picture and send it to somebody, send a card to somebody, call somebody, text somebody, send a message. Those are ways to stay connected, stay involved, but stay safe as well. Check on each other and make sure everybody around us is doing well. If you need something, please let us know, and we want to reach out to you and help you in any way that we can. There's some information about our food bank that is available, so if you are in need and you need information about our food bank, you can contact me, you can contact Jim and Sherry Murray, you can contact Bob and Mona Kidwell, and they will put you in connection with a food supply and food source to help our community as well. And so right now the main thing is stay home, stay well, and wash your hands. Hey, I hope you're ready for some worship this morning. Beth is going to do some worship for us. I want the Holy Ghost this morning to saturate your heart, your minds, your living rooms, your kitchen, your car, wherever you're watching us from right now. Let's just pray this together, Father, right now, as we begin to lift up our voice and declare that victory is coming and that you are a way maker. Right now, in Jesus' name, we speak life, and we speak healing, and we speak hope, God. And today we are going to unite our voices together in worship, one mind, one heart, one vision, God, that you might be glorified today, and you might be seen, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And the opportunity to do that today. I'm thankful for technology and those who can make this happen for you. If you're not able to connect on Facebook or you know someone who's not able to connect on Facebook, then you can get us on CD. We have a CD. You can also get us podcast. The podcast will be up sometime today, so you can listen online. If you cannot get it in any one of those ways and you want a CD, let us know when we have the ability or the capability to put it over onto a CD and get the word to you as well. So we want to talk to you today a little bit. We've been doing some talking about the Easter season. It's the season of Lent. It's the season of the acknowledgement of the cross, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, the life of Christ. You know, we're all in anticipation of Easter and all of the things that we would normally be doing. And it seems like Easter services might be canceled, but let me just tell you, Easter is not canceled. And I saw something on the line the other day, and you've probably seen it too. It said, Easter cannot be canceled. 2,000 years ago, all the forces of hell tried to do that, and they failed, and they will again. Easter is the celebration of the power of the resurrected life. And Jesus said, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. How many of you have that same spirit today dwelling in you? Amen. Another translation doesn't say if, it says since. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. That word quicken means to make alive your mortal body. And so I'm thankful for resurrection power that lives in us today. The scripture I want to read to you first out of Hebrews 12, the Amplified Bible 1-3 says, therefore, since we are compassed by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute, what's my place there? Sorry about that. Testified of the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that distracts us. I want to read that again. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing. Somebody say focus. Hallelujah. Focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter or the finisher of our faith, the first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Just consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider it all in comparison with your trials so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I love that scripture. The Lord spoke that to me before I left the house this morning. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith. This particular scripture is the continuation or the following of the great chapter of the Hebrew Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11, Now Faith. And it talks to us about all of the great heroes of faith. And then it says, since we are compassed about or surrounded by all of those great heroes of faith, let us also run with patience the race that is set before us. I look at that like the baton being passed in a relay. And it's like, you're tagged, you're it. So it's now time for us, as much as that old covenant did some miraculous things with the heroes of faith, we now live under a new covenant of promise. We live under the revelation of the cross and the finished work of Jesus. And I love that this scripture says looking. Looking means to see or to focus or to cast your eyes on. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Focusing, this, the Amplified says, that we focus our eyes on Jesus. And that's what we've been preaching since the beginning of the year. And that's what I want you to continue to do wherever you are right now, today, whatever you're facing, whether it's virus, whether it's sickness, whether it's disease. You know, along with those things comes fear and anxiety and worry and all of those things that Jesus said, casting those things on him, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. So if you need to today, step outside and just give a big throw and cast all of your cares, your worries, and your concern on him. Because I choose today to keep my focus and my eyes on Jesus. I want to go to the scripture today out of John chapter 19. If you have your Bible and you want to turn with me there, I'm going to read it out of the King James. And I'm going to start at verse 16. And I want to read a pretty large portion of scripture. But I believe if we don't say anything else today, that the word speaks for itself. So if you just hear the scripture today, that's okay. But I want to talk about body piercing today. This might be a little bit different reflection than anything you've ever seen, but I want to talk about the ultimate body piercing. It says, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and the two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I'm the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven to the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, Jesus, that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar. And they filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced, somebody say pierced, his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water, and he saw it bear record, and his record is true. He knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher which was nigh at hand. The portion of scripture, there's so many little nuggets on there that it's easy to run some rabbit trails and try to cover them all. But I don't want to cover it all today. But the scripture repeatedly says over and over that the scripture might be fulfilled. They parted his garments and they cast lots that the scripture might be fulfilled. He drank the sour wine. He drank the vinegar of the cross. Not one of his bones were broken. And if you remember in the Lamb of Sacrifice, that it had to be a perfect lamb without blemish. None of their bones were broken. And all of the scripture refers to the prophets of old that prophesied of all of the things that would come to pass. But what I want to talk to you about today, it says they will look on him whom they had pierced. And I talked about the ultimate body piercing today. How many know Jesus' hands and feet were pierced and his side were pierced? His piercings were significant to you. Blood and water flowed out of his side when they pierced him. And I believe that's symbolic of our baptism through water and baptism through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, I'm confident today that what is going on around us is not near as powerful as what's going on inside of us. Because the water and the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrected Savior lives inside of you today. And so I choose, to focus on that. I choose to look on him today. I choose to turn my eyes on Jesus. I choose to focus on what the cross did, what the cross paid for. It paid for my salvation, but it also paid for my healing. The scripture that says, by his stripes we were healed. And so as we look at the cross today, we focus on him who was pierced, focused on the one who was crucified for us. His death, his burial, and resurrection. We talked before about the Passover lamb, the Exodus out of Egypt, the last time we were together in service. And you know what they did? They put the blood on the doorpost. They took the lamb in the house. So it's the covering. We are covered inside and out. The outside's covered. The inside is covered by the blood and through the Lamb of Jesus. And so I think today we got to be cross-eyed. That's a play on words. But how many know our eyes need to be on the cross, so focused that we are cross-eyed and that our focus is not through distractions? The scripture that we read earlier talked about being distracted. Don't be distracted. Let us lay aside every weight of sin or worry or fear or anxiety. Whatever today is causing you to be outside of rest, whatever has stolen your peace. Somebody shared earlier on Facebook and said about when the children of Israel got ready and Moses got ready to take them out of the promise, he said, hold your peace, because the Lord is going to deliver us out of here today. And my mama, Pastor Shirley, said one time, she said, hold on, not just hold your peace, but hold on to your peace. So I declare that to you today, that some of you need to hold on to your peace. You need to focus on the cross, focus on Jesus, taking our eyes away from distractions. You know, I was thinking, Dan and I were working the other day, and and out on the farm, and we were pulling some rocks out of the ground, and we were trying to refocus and repurpose some ground that was an old foundation. And so we took the old rocks of that foundation, and Dan, having an eye to lay those stones, he made a fire pit out of those rocks. And so we were able to repurpose and to reuse some rocks that looked like they had laid dormant. And I just, the Lord has spoke to me so much in just little things over the last little while, but you might have thought you have laid dormant in some way or in some stage, but I'm telling you, God is stirring up some ground, and he is moving some rocks, and he is placing them in the wall of his purpose as it pleases him. So don't think your time is over. Don't think you're done, because God's about to shift some things. There are some things shifting in this whole crisis that we're going to see the fallout of, and I declare to you, it's not just a bad fallout we're seeing, but we're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I declare that he is moving some things around, and he is repurposing some things. And so the purpose for us moving those rocks out of there is so we could put a small garden in there. I'd like to have a little small garden. And so we're going to have to stir up some ground that hasn't been stirred up for a very long time. And in stirring up that ground, we want to sow some seed. And that seed that I'm sowing is not going to produce anything today, but in the future, those things that I am planting right now, the seed of promise, the seed of harvest, the seed of faith, the seed of confidence that I'm planting in you today, I declare we are going to see the fulfillment and the harvest of the bounty of what God is doing. And so while we were getting that land prepared and get it prepped, we were searching through there, and I found a piece of an old soul. And I just kind of laughed for a minute when I looked at it, and I thought, well, there's an old soul that's been buried down underneath of that. It's been lost. It's been forsaken and thought that it would never be found. And when I picked it up, I had to grin. I thought of my dad, and I thought my dad was in the business of finding old souls. And when he did, he would go to Walmart, and he would sit on the bench, and he would look for somebody to come by to tell him about Jesus. Or he'd go to the park bench, and he'd wait, and he'd sit for somebody to come by, and he would tell them about Jesus. I want you to know that some of you all have been in prayer and supplication for some, from some old souls, some those who you thought have been forsaken, those you thought have been lost, those you thought would never be found. But I declare and decree that some ground is being stirred up, some seed is being planted. The purpose of God is yes and amen. The army of God is moving forward. The church of God is alive and powerful and strong. And God is searching for old souls, and he's using us to do it. And when we find that, we can cast seed into the ground that's going to bring a harvest. And I declare that seeds that we are planting right now in this season, which seems like a season of dormancy, I'm telling you, the trees of my house are starting to bud. Life is starting to spring forth. It's a promise that warmer weather is coming. It's a promise that the season of sowing and harvest is upon us. And so I challenge you to plant some seeds in the ground. Plant some seeds today of hope. Plant some seeds of life. Plant some seeds of confidence and courage today, because you're stronger than you know. You know that you are anointed and appointed, and that the power of the Holy Spirit is just as strong in you where you sit today as if you were sitting in this sanctuary. There is no little Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost is moving upon you right now in your homes and wherever you might be. And I just believe that, and we prophetically declare that the seasons are shifting and about to change. And I choose not to be distracted, but I choose to focus today on him whom they pierced, because he was pierced for me. And when he was pierced, blood and water flowed. And I tell you, that river is still flowing. That life is still flowing. In the book of Revelation, it talks about that they will look on him who they pierced. I think it's Revelation 1:7. But how many know in that book of Revelation, there is a, John sees a clear river, and it flows from the throne of God. And there's a river of life that's flowing out of the side of Jesus today. That when Adam was in the garden, and God took woman from the side of Adam, And just as Eve was created out of the side of Adam, so was the bride of Christ taken out of the side of Jesus. The scripture says, and the veil was rent. At the moment the veil of the flesh was torn, the temple veil was torn from the top to bottom. That was not so that God could get out. It was so you could get in. You could find a secret place. And many of you have posted this week, and I love it. Because Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him shall I trust. I want you to know today that that mercy seat has been made available to you. And we hide under the shadow of the wings of the cherubim. And we hide under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. The blood of a spotless lamb is sprinkled on that mercy seat. And we are covered under his feathers and under his wings. And I think about that like a hen would gather her chicks around her and wrap their wings around them. That when you look on me, you don't even see chicks, but you only see the mama hen. When I want to look at this situation, I'm not going to see anything but Jesus, and that's where my focus is going to be on. Hallelujah. And I think that's good news today. There is a secret place. There is a place of the Most High, and Jesus gave that access to us. Hebrews 10:19 through 25 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. Some of you need to know that today, that he is faithful, that has promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I love that I'm seeing good works happening in our community. We've got people making masks. We've got people feeding the hungry. We've got kids that are being served meals. We have people who are checking on their neighbors. And we have all kinds of things that are being done because the kingdom of heaven is advancing. The church is not closed. It is alive and well, and we are on the move. God is not mad at us. He is mad about us, and he is using his people to activate and be his hands extended in the earth. Hallelujah. We want to say that this is an act of God on our planet or on our community. It's not an act of God to bring the virus on us, but it is an act of God when the sons and daughters of God rise up and be light in the darkness and be salt in the earth. And so he says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, lifting one another up, encouraging one another, speaking life over somebody, declaring faith. You might come into somebody who is bound by fear and anxiety and depression. Speak the word over them, provoke them to good works and to love, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So my challenge you today is, let us keep our eyes on him who has been pierced. My focus today and always has to be on the cross. No distractions, no stinking thinking, but keeping our eyes on Jesus and the finished work of the cross. We're going to share with you next week the resurrection story, the Easter story. Also this week, I want to bring you some devotionals on the seven sayings of the cross. We're going to be doing some of that. But hey, guys, keep the comments coming. I love the encouragement. I love that we are exhorting one another online and in text messages, and that we're lifting one another up, and that the encouragement, the words that you all are speaking are life to me. I'm encouraged because of what you're hearing and what God is speaking through you. Your words are powerful as well, so keep them coming. And we know that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. I love that. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Let me say that again. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. We're going to get ready to pray today. We want to remind you, if you want to give, many of you have asked, how can we give? How can we send our tithes? How can we get our offerings in? You can send them to 116 Harvest Drive. You can drop them off. We can arrange to meet you. You can go online, wodchurch.com, and there's a donate button on there. You give through PayPal. You can give that with your debit card, your credit card. However you choose to give, we love you. We thank you to everyone who has already been faithful in that, and those of you who have already sent those offerings and tithes and things in, some of you have sent some extra money to help feed families or whatever it might be, we thank you for that. We love you. We honor you. We know that you are a house of givers, and we know that your heart is towards what God wants to do out of this house. But before we pray today, we had a couple prayer requests. We had a nurse and some families who've had a great deal of stress over family members that are essential, considered essential, and then about them bringing home viruses. We want to cover those people in our prayers today. We have so many healthcare workers and nurses and things out of our sanctuary here. Heather and Billy Joe, Kathy, Liza, Sherry, Brian and Courtney, Heather Link, Crystal, Aisha, Emily's, Caleb, who's a guard, Dave, who's delivering the mail, Crystal, Tina and Brooke, Tiffany, all the different ones. You guys are on the front line and you are in the connection of this. I want you to know that we are covering you. We are standing like a hedge about you, praying the Holy Spirit covering over you in Jesus' name, and that God is going to bring healing through you, that the people that you come in contact with, the lives that you touch, are being changed because the anointing and the power of God is in you and flowing through you. We've also said, I had a prayer request to pray for our president and our country. It's a time when we need to join together and pray God gives wisdom to our leaders and how they're going to lead us through these times. Hallelujah. Erin had suggested prayer for her family, for Jason, and he's being transferred in some different job positions that he'll be more in connection with the public, but we pray that no weapon formed against them can prosper and that healing protection is over their house in Jesus' name. Heather and Blaine ask for prayer for their daughter-in-law's mother and for some results that have been unfavorable, but we declare life over that situation. And for Kathy Spitzer, we ask that God lift her up. And Dave needs a healing in his body. So many. Pastor Shirley, right now, in Jesus' name, we speak life. Angie, we declare over you in Jesus' name. You guys pray with me right now. Father, by the power of the anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we just lift up every need to you. Not that you don't know the need, God, but you said where two or three are joined together in your name, that there you are in the midst. And Father, you said that when we're sick, we can call on the elders of the church and we can lay hands on them, Lord, and they shall recover. Father, we stand together, we pray, we decree, and we declare right now a turnaround. We declare a turnaround in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will move, that you will make a way where there seems to be no way, that you will close doors that need to be closed and open the doors that need to be opened in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that our families are blessed. I thank you that they're anointed. I thank you that they are called and that you are using them right now, Lord, as an instrument of your grace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I know I might have missed somebody. If I did, Jesus knows the need, and you go ahead and reach out and pray for them. Hey, gang, I want you to know how much we love you. We miss you. We can't wait to be together with you. But until then, keep doing what you're doing. Keep your eyes focused on him who is purest, and let him be the focus of your life today. All distractions got to go, and the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.